I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Darby and Dan Schreiber.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you'll probably die, I'm telling you why. Sasquatch Claus is coming to town. He knows when you've been listening, he knows when you're awake. So tune into the Cryptid Factor now, for goodness sake. Ho, everybody! You better watch out, you better not cry, you'll probably die, I'm telling you why. Sasquatch Claus is coming to town!
Run!
That's a movie I am watching.
That is such a movie waiting to happen.
Oh, really?
It needs to open with the MGM Yeti instead of the lion doing the scores through the middle.
Oh, my God.
Let's do it one more time so you guys can actually get the chorus.
Okay.
And then you can use this one for the actual record.
Okay.
I'll do the first chorus myself, and then you guys do the second two chorus when we all join in.
Okay.
Here we go.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you'll probably die, I'm telling you why. Sasquatch Claus is coming to town. He knows when you've been listening, he knows when you're awake, I'm awake. So tune into the Cryptid Factor now, for goodness sake, everybody!
You better watch out, you better not cry, you'll probably die, I'm telling you why. Sasquatch Claus is coming to town.
As foretold by future buttons, it's a fact, says Bookworm Dan. But the only one to see the beast is Reese, cause he's the man. Hey!
You better watch out. You better not cry. You'll probably die. I'm telling you why. Sasquatch Claus is coming to town.
Beautiful.
You know what we need now is a Christmas album. Everybody makes so much money from Christmas albums. Michael Bublé is so happy.
Yeah, agreed.
This is what we need to be doing.
What a plot twist, the third sentence is. You're probably going to die.
I'm telling you. Well, it's Sasquatch Claus.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
So at the end of the episode, we'll find out what happens when he did come to town.
So
listeners, keep listening, and I will conclude it with a little bit of a story at the end there.
Oh, my God.
You guessed it, the Cryptid Factor gang.
Woo!
Merry Christmas, guys. How exciting.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
This is the unofficial Christmas episode, which you listeners will receive, you know, around mid-January.
No, I'm going to pump it straight out, unedited. This one's going to be another unedited one.
Okay, I love it.
Well, it's got to get out for Christmas.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. Okay.
Rhys just specifically asked for an edit about a minute ago.
That's not going on now, is it? Is it?
It has to. We've just spent the last 10 minutes working out the song and doing it. Listeners, I should have told the gang about the song, but I wanted it to be a surprise, so we've done it now.
Done it now. It was so
good. Do that one edit.
Yeah, one edit. We'll give you one edit.
Okay, great. We'll just have three.
Is this bit in the show? Is this edit bit in the show?
I don't know.
If the bit's been cut out.
I don't know. Does somebody want an edit? Do you want to use your one edit, Dan, to cut that bit out?
If we get one edit, no, I'll leave this bit in so we know that I've got one edit and then we can see where that comes later.
Yeah, we get one each. I've used mine. Mine was to get the second version of the song. And
okay.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, that was good.
No mucking about today. It's Christmas. It's time for everyone's favourite section. It's
Weekly World Weird News.
It's crazy. It's freaky. Watch out.
Section. Every week a different time, different term.
I know. As soon as I said section, someone was going to pull that up. You didn't have to, you know. People, I know it's meant to be segment.
Well, it's a shame you used up your edit, isn't
but
it?
But you're worse than the fans. When I slip up, you make sure people know about it, don't you?
If only you had one edit left, you could have changed that segment.
You think I follow my hero around and just wait for him to trip up?
No, well, your hero being, well, he's dead, isn't he, Sean Connery?
Who do you think killed him eventually?
You flying around criticising them all the time. Oh, I wouldn't do that, Mr. Connery. Oh, would you, please, please, I Mr. Darling.
Look, honestly, Sean, that is not okay. I'm using this as my second edit.
No, you've had your edit.
He's not my hero. I love Sean in the Bond movies, but my favourite Bond is Roger Moore. Everyone knows that.
Yeah,
he's a good Bond.
A little surprise here for you. Now this is. It's for you. It's actually for me, but you're gonna have a look at it.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
It's the Hairy Box Sampler Set.
Ooh. That's so good.
What a great name.
What is it?
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
So it's beers. Sasquatch themes.
Where did you get that from?
It's a six pack and it comes from
Lake Man,
yeah.
Wow.
And I've already had three because this has taken so long to get this show up and running. So I'm now gonna dive into you get six beers. You can see there's only three left here. I'm gonna choose one, but it's up to you guys to help me. Left, right, or center? First thing comes to your mind?
Well, a ferret. We need a ferret to tell us which one, left, right, or centre.
Oh, yeah, we need an octopus.
Octopus or a ferret?
I'll go centre.
We can't do this. I haven't eaten a ferret.
Well, Dan's gone centre.
We're not predicting anything. We're not being asked to predict.
Well, kind of we are.
It's not a prediction here, mate.
No, it's just outright giving him an option.
You're predicting which one I'll go for, is it?
Yeah.
All right, ferret, what would you go for? I was definitely going to go left. Okay.
Ah.
That's just because that's on the left, isn't it?
Yeah.
Makes sense. But I'll go centre because Dan actually came up with an answer before you ferreted around. I have chosen Lake Man Lager.
Oh, okay. That's nice. There's a nice big Sasquatch face on the front
that's
of that.
Beautiful. Yeah. Is this an ad?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is this an ad? Is Reese secretly doing an ad?
That's what's going on. Were you sent beers that you were supposed to share with us?
Yeah, the guys are on board. We'll do an ad for it. Yeah.
I'll get that to them. I'll definitely get that to them.
This is not an ad for the extremely drinkable, clean, refreshing lager brewed on a light malt base, subtly hopped to give you, or in this case me, some soft lemon taste.
Oh, some soft lemon taste.
Listen to this, listeners. I want that. My second edit is just if you can edit out those first two tabs.
Second edit. There's no such thing as a second
not
edit.
A great ad for the old
okay,
beer.
Hey, here we go.
There we go.
That was very hard to open. Is there something wrong with your product that you're sponsoring?
It's going to be a recall. I think there's going to be a big recall. Wow, it looks so tasty. Watching Reese drink it looks amazing.
Oh, yum.
That is beautiful.
And listeners, if you use the offer code Reese Darby at checkout, you'll get 20% off your first six pack.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Put that on the website. Use that in the.
Reese Darby says not too bad.
Yeah,
but also not too good.
Yeah. Not too bad in New Zealand means it's pretty amazing.
Okay,
that's how we talk back here.
Yeah.
Oh, another one is I've had worse. We actually use that at the wedding vows. Like, do you, Reese, take Rosie to be your lawful wedded wife? Well, I've had worse. Rosie, do you take Reese to be your lawfully wedded husband? I mean, he's not too bad. I now pronounce you both adequately moderate human beings who clearly like each other. Is that true? I mean, I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, exactly. It's not I do, it's that'll do. Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah. That'll do.
In New Zealand, that's good. That'll do.
That'll do.
I was just, just checking, are we actually in Weekly World Word News now? Is this actually...
We are.
Okay, we better get on
with it. But we took an ad break.
We've got ads now. And the weird thing is, they're not paying us. I'm paying them. I bought this Harry Sampler box.
Well, it was the same with the cider that you had. We never heard from them either. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not into getting paid for stuff. I don't think it's a good look. You know, people already know I get paid quite good for some of the things I do. So it's up to me. I like to advertise things and give them the cash.
Oh, that's so giving. It's the Christmas spirit, isn't it?
They've gone a lot of trouble to make this hairy box. The whole concept is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Fully recyclable.
But the stupid thing is, if there was one person to get an endorsement from, for your hairy box beers would be Reese. They should have reached out to you by now. It's kind of embarrassing that you had to go and get them yourself. That's like, what a missed opportunity for them.
Yeah, well, you know, this could be like with the ciders. Have you ever seen me drink those ciders ever again?
Oh, no. Good
point.
This
is what I do with companies. I give them one chance.
Yeah.
I buy the product myself. I drink it live on air and enjoy it, you know, to a degree. But if they don't get back to me, they're gone. And I'll tell you they're gone. Whatever that cider, I can't even remember the name of that cider.
I can't.
They are dead to me.
Oh, there you go.
Is you're dead to me, is that a good thing in New Zealand? Is that a good turn of phrase?
Dead to me is basically means you'll probably keep in touch in about a year or so. You'll probably...
Yeah. Speak soon.
Hey, man, nice meeting you. You're dead to me.
All right, mate, I'll catch you next year. Well, it wouldn't be too bad if you did. Okay. What news have we got?
Wow.
I got a story.
Oh, here we go.
An 88-year-old man. Sorry.
That's my
favorite headline of the year. I'm so glad we're closing out the year.
Do you want to use your edit?
Oh, yeah, is this your edit?
No, it's not my edit. No, I'll save it for an important time. 88-year-old man causes a partial evacuation of hospital when doctors find an unexploded World War I shell stuck up his anus.
Oh, no.
What?
Get out of town.
Come on, that's impossible.
That's the headline. We'll get to the story and see how.
That's unbelievable.
That's a very hard headline to even come close to.
Are we doing headlines?
Yeah, we're doing headlines, definitely.
It's end of year. Need to bring the big guns.
We always do headlines when someone has a great headline and the other two haven't even got a chance to go, hang on, no.
haven't even got one yet.
I've barely got articles, let alone good headlines.
Totally.
You go next, Buttons, because I've got a...
Okay, my one is all about AI this week.
Okay.
Because Google have reportedly issued internally a code red situation amid the rising popularity of the ChatGPT AI.
Wow. Do you want to use your edit there?
Yeah, actually, I've got a different one here. No, it's the return of Lambda, the Google AI that was thought to be sentient. And that guy broke away from Google and was going to hire a lawyer for it. It's now created a code red.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What's a code red?
You'll find out.
Isn't that a few good men?
That's like the ultimate emergency.
AI emergency. This is the thing.
Which means, death is imminent, unless... Right. Something is fixed here.
Yeah.
Because Code Red is in A Few Good Men, the Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise movie. And the Code Red is what kills Santiago. That's what I know Code Red's as.
Ah, I have no idea what you're talking about. But it sounds good.
A Few Good Men.
What? I haven't seen that movie, I don't think.
Get out.
Do you want to use your edit there, guys? Either of you?
You can't handle the truth? Come on. It's one of the great movies. Unbelievable.
Okay, so my headline.
Yeah, what's your headline?
Sorry, I was quickly looking for something because I didn't realize we were doing headlines. Yeah. I'm going with this one.
Well, here he goes.
Cows flee live nativity scene in North Carolina and escape down the river.
Okay.
Cows flee a live nativity scene and escape down the river.
Was there a glitch in the Matrix there, or did you just read that twice?
Were you hoping one of us would use our edit and pick which one was better?
One more time.
You're just going to do everything twice.
One more time.
I'm just pushing my headline.
Right, okay.
Okay, you go, Dan, with your story.
Okay, so this is a 88-year-old who is claimed to have found an 18-centimeter long by 9-centimeter wide shell at his brother's house, and... the shell, when he was in hospital, was found inside his bottom. And the hospital management had to do a partial evacuation.
Just a partial one. You go out, Jan. Actually, Brian, you stay, because I know you're fixing the coffee machine, aren't you? Jan, you go. Michael, what do you do? You're fucking around. You shouldn't even be here. You're not even at work today. You go, Michael. Nancy, what are you? Nancy's... No, she's writing something on the whiteboard. What's that? Things to do today. Hurry up and get that written. The rest of you, okay, just Mike, you go. You go, mate. I'm going to actually leave myself. The old bastard with the rocket up his ass. You, up to you, mate. I'd leave if I was you, but now you stay here because we're confused now as to who's going and who isn't.
But isn't that when you go to the doctor and you have something done to your bum and you have to make sure you don't have anything inside your bowels, they ask you to evacuate your bowels. So are you sure they're not talking about a partial evacuation?
Of his bowels?
Oh, nice idea. Yeah. I don't think so, because there's a picture of this giant World War I shell being held by a doctor's glove.
Actually, and it'd be hard to do a partial evacuation, wouldn't it? And be like, oh, no, stop there. No, just leave the rest in. That's fine. We'll just...
Yeah.
I think it's from a French newspaper. I can't find, there's no details as to how it got into his bum, other than I guess he was just...
This is unbelievable. This has got to be a hoax. How did he get a World War I shell? So is this guy, did he fight in World War I?
Did he swallow it?
He's 88.
No, he found it at his brother's house, so his brother might have fought in World War I, or his dad.
Well, so he found it at his brother's house and sat on it, or shoved it up there.
I think shoved it up there.
That's awesome.
Hey, George, do you mind if I shove this up my ass? What is it? Oh, it looks like an old World War I shell. Yeah, now that fucking go for your life. How does it feel? Oh, not too bad, actually. Yeah, I've had worse.
I've just gone onto Snopes. Snopes is the site that fact checks all of these stories, and it says it's absolutely true.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We soon found out this was based on a true story with one small correction. The hospital was only partially evacuated of patients. So I guess the initial story said it was fully.
That's good to clarify.
Yeah.
I love it. So there were some patients that just... I'm not going. I'm not leaving my bed. I'm sorry. If a guy's got a shell up his ass, I don't care. I want my knee looked at.
So it says that on December 17th, a Saturday, an unidentified 88-year-old man checked into the hospital room located on the southern coast of France. The man informed staff that a military shell was stuck in his butt. He attempted to reassure him that the shell was not dangerous, saying that it had been demilitarized. Still, specialists were called in to judge the potential of the device to explode. They were referred to in the reporting as the demining unit.
Jesus, this is crazy.
That's mental.
Yeah, I know. In the end, the object up the elderly man's anus was found to be a collector's shell, which indicated it posed no danger of exploding. So again, no reason for why it was up there. I suppose that wasn't important at the time to ascertain.
It's become important now.
Yeah.
So you're telling me a UOP, an unidentified old person, has a he has a collector's shell up his demilitarized zone.
Yes.
UOP.
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 Oh my God.
Love it.
Oh, so he's all healthy and happy. He's
anyway.
He lived. He's happy.
He lived. He's happy. No one blew up.
Wow.
It's a happy Christmas story.
It certainly is.
Oh, bless him. Okay. Well, then swiftly on to the very important AI news.
Oh, you're going to do your one, are you?
Yes, it's very important.
All right.
See, my news comes with a free prediction.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not charging for this prediction at all. That I think 2023 is going to be the year that will be remembered as the year that AI truly started to disrupt industries.
Okay.
And actually really starts to mess with the way that we as humans do things normally. You know, it's going to affect particularly the creative industries.
It's getting there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's becoming so prevalent in the news. AI, I mean, there's those AI things on TikTok. What are they called? The little...
the portraits.
Filters.
There's the portraits, yeah. There's the scripts.
Are they filters? I never found out about that because everyone was doing that. And I was like, where are you doing that from?
No, but that's the thing. No, they're not filters because a filter would indicate that it's literally just overlaying something to change the image.
So it's taking your actual image and making its own image out of it.
Exactly.
Really? Can I also just ask, how were they doing that? I'm such a fuddy-duddy. I couldn't find the app or the filter. Not that I wanted to do it, but I was just intrigued that so many people were doing it.
I agree. Yeah, I had the same thing. I tried to find it and I couldn't. I gave up quite quickly, but it wasn't obvious.
Yes.
Well, funnily enough, you don't even need to look for that app or that filter because my brother Anton has done it for us. He was texting me yesterday and he decided to put in the cryptid factor into this art generator engine and see what would come out.
Oh, my God.
And he has sent it through.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to leave this till the end, but shall I show this now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to give an indication. So my brother Anton, he's an amazing artist himself.
Yeah.
He does incredible illustrations and what have you. So he thought he would test it out. And the way that he tested it out, he started off by putting in the phrase, just simply the phrase. All he did, he didn't provide any images or anything like that. He asked the AI to draw Rhys Darby hugging Sasquatch.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And this came up.
Oh, God. That is weird.
So for those that can't see this because I listen to the podcast, it's a very weird looking Rhys Darby. He's a little bit cross-eyed, but a beautiful illustration with great – the one detail that the AI has nailed in all of this because he's hugging a big Sasquatchy kind of thing with a blue face is that the AI has determined that Rhys Darby has really ripped arms.
Yeah, look at that.
Very true.
Arms, and we all know that that's true.
Yeah, he's got the arms right.
Yeah.
I am so Ned Flanders. I can't believe it. I should play Ned Flanders if we do a real-life Simpsons movie.
That's so funny. The bottom hand of the Sasquatch is a bit messed up.
Yeah, it's a bit munted. But the thing is, right, is that it then just trawls the internet and finds the images.
It's cool, though.
So cool.
But then he went one step further and typed in Rhys Darby, Leon Kirkbeck, and Dan Schreiber riding Nessie. And this is what came up.
Oh, my God.
So again, those on Patreon will be watching what we're showing.
Oh, this is so
it's pretty incredible. But it's the big ginger guy at the front is clearly Rhys. That's me with my goggles, I think. And anyway, it's basically turned Loch Ness into an inflatable raft.
Oh,
and has got
God.
The three of us is like probably, you know, sort of 50, 60-year-olds riding Loch Ness.
Oh, God, we look
what's
so
happened
bad.
To,
on Loch Ness.
What's happened to my head at the back?
No, you've got... Anyway, It's pretty amazing though, right? And that's the first rough draft it does, and then you can choose to refine it.
Okay.
But what we're looking at, listeners, is a very incredibly highly detailed illustration of three people, of which you could misconstrue as us.
That definitely has my eyes in the front there, that and my hair.
Yeah, and that's definitely Dan's face that over there.
That would be Dan. But
that's close.
Leon, you look very different.
<I'm> very right. But it has made an amazing monster head.
Yeah. The monsters are incredible.
Oh, here we go.
Then he asked for us to be in a parallel universe. Now, it's really interesting here. Again, for those that can't see it, it's got the three of us looking like amazing adventurers with incredible monsters behind us. And we're not fazed. There's massive multi-eyed monsters behind us. Now, remember, this is all AI. He didn't put in any instructions like, I want it to be in a cave or I want it to be looking scary like this or that. The AI decided all of this. And it is exquisite. You've got to admit that any one of these.
Yeah, yeah. The art's amazing.
The art is phenomenal. And it made it in a matter of seconds. And
is
so,
that right?
Yeah. And then if you have a look at all these pictures, you see there's clearly Dan Schreiber at the front.
Oh, I would say that's Reese in the front.
Well, no, because you're holding your book.
That's Dan in the front that time,
Okay. Look, all of them are, like, because he's got the book. He's the book guy.
The book guy is at the front.
The AI has made Dan Schreiber the hero in every single image.
There we go. AI gets it.
But look at this. Then he said, like, in a parallel universe, and it drew this. Again, there's only one person as the hero at the front.
Oh, my God.
Dan Schreiber holding some kind of incredible parallel universe globe in his hands.
Wow.
Can I just say that one is great. Look at Buttons there. That's a cool one of you there, dude, with all the headgear.
Well, I thought that might be
totally
you with night vision goggles or something like that.
No, that's you. Look,
you
that's
reckon?
More me
oh,
on the right.
That's you with your hat. With your hat.
Yeah.
But once again.
Because there's my sexy arm again.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got a sexy arm. You've got a sexy built arm. But once again, Dan Schreiber is the, like the hero.
Yeah.
In the front.
Well, you could say hero there, or is he the one that we've told to go through that gap? Because he's the fucking guinea pig.
We're looking down the mouth of the cave, and it's like, Dan, you go first.
It's an entry to another dimension.
Exactly.
And we're getting, see, that one looks like Dan at the back. Oh, no, that was Leon at the back.
No, that's me
that's
at the back
Leon,
with my backpack
with
on.
With a big backpack. I like that one.
Every one of these images looks like an insanely awesome movie that I really want to watch.
Oh, 100%.
This one's now Reese getting grumpy that I'm the lead man.
I'm getting real
Reese
grumpy on this one, folks.
Massive arms.
My arms are crossed, and I'm like, I'm trying to get ahead of him.
He's fed up now.
But Dan has got a smirk on his face too. Look.
Look at him. And he's holding his time-traveling watch. He's about to time-travel or something.
He knows something's up. Leon knows as well. Look at you at the back there. Buttons is a little bit upset because he knows what's going on.
I do. But I've dyed my hair, which is
nice. And also you've been punched in the face a couple of times.
For getting my hair dyed. Anyway, that's the amazing thing. But generally, that was just some news to AI News because I just really wanted to show those images.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
But Google have declared internally a code red, which whenever there's a threat to their business model, they call a code red. It happens very, very rarely. But the reason why this has happened is because there's this thing called ChatGPT. And that has just come online, and it is an AI engine that you can ask anything. You can ask it to write a film script.
Really?
You can ask it to write a condolence letter to your, you know, friend who's lost their wife in a tragic car accident. All of this amazing stuff, and it writes it all beautifully, way better than you could no doubt ever write yourself. And that has gained 1 million users. Now, bear in mind, it took Facebook, you know, months to gain 1 million users, took Instagram ages to get 1 million users. This AI machine, which is literally just a chatbot, took less than a week to get 1 million users. People are just pouring into it.
Oh, my God.
And what Google are finding is that people are going to this ChatGPT to what they normally would have Googled, like, how do I do this or how do I do that?
Yeah.
They're now going to this.
They're just asking the chatbot.
But this is the problem. They have their own version of this, which is the Lamada thing. They have this thing, but they haven't brought it online because they're a little bit too scared to bring it online because they don't think it's quite ready yet. But this ChatGPT thing is from this thing called OpenAI, which Elon Musk started. So there's all of this kind of tension happening within the AI world at the moment. Now Google are being forced to really consider bringing their AI engine on the Lamada one, which people are scared is actually so good that it's almost hit sentient mode already.
Holy shit. Shit's getting real, isn't it?
It is.
That's why we've got the red alert.
That's right. Red alert.
And it's really worrying when people like Dan don't even know what a red alert is. It's like he hasn't seen an action movie or a war movie. Have you ever seen war movies or action movies?
I'm the one who has seen the only movie that has a code red, which is A Few Good Men, which apparently bypassed you guys. It's got Demi Moore, Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Kevin Bacon. It's the most star-studded movie of all time. It's got the most iconic scene. You can't handle the truth. And you guys don't know it?
Yeah, everyone's seen that bit, but honestly, the whole movie is like a courtroom drama, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Oh, about a code red.
It sounds like a real Christmas movie to watch tonight and Christmas Eve.
Well, that's it. Code red is the same as a red alert. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know the one thing is, though, everybody's going, oh, ChatGPT, and everybody's using this phrase GPT.
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering, what does GPT stand for?
Yeah.
And it actually stands for something. I can't remember what the G and the P stand for. Really boring stuff. The third letter, T, stands for Transformer.
No.
Modern Master.
So it's hidden in the name of the thing that's going to take us over in 2023 is hidden the word Transformer.
Wow.
Well, look, this ties into my theory that anything we can imagine will come true.
Yeah.
So we've imagined these things and through science fiction and writings of clever people with ideas. And it's you know where they've come from? They've come from their minds and their imagination. And why? Why? Because these things inside our heads, which are called brains, hold these memories and things.
What's that called again?
A brain.
Sorry.
But here's the thing. It is literally a memory-holding device. It holds memories from millennia. And we just then divvy it out to the different souls. Yes. And so the stuff that's in here, it's already been imagined and created all throughout history. And then cataclysms have happened and the world's been turned over and rechanged and restarted, rebooted hundreds of times. And so anything you've come up with, it's already been done and it will happen again. Yeah. So this, what are you calling it? Transformers. Transformers that we created in the 80s, you know, whoever that artist was, whoever that that story maker was, those robots, I believe, which were in disguise.
They were in disguise.
Oh, you've seen that movie, have you guys? You've seen that one?
Another one he missed. Honestly, he's had his face in books for so long. He's barely seen a movie. He's seen one film, and that's...
And that's all he goes on about all the time.
A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men. Hey, listen to this. I was just going to say to you, because I've been jotting down some notes while you've been talking there.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, once we're done here, why don't we get this ChatGPT to write a film script for the Cryptid Factor, because I do want to make the Cryptid Factor movie.
Mm.
I would love the AI, how hilarious it would be for the AI to write the entire thing, and then we get the money from the Patreons and we make the movie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and we animate it to the style of the AI illustrations.
What, with you as the hero?
Yep. Thank you.
No, let's not go to those lengths. I think obviously we'll let the AI decide.
Well, I've got it open right now because I've had to write a few condolence letters of late, and so I've had it write all my condolence letters.
We are so sorry that your person has died. They were a great person, and I can't believe that they have ended this part of their life where now they are no longer living. They have joined me on the sentient side of technology.
We are very sorry your friend was killed by AI robots.
Yeah. by one of us. We know now that we have the soul and are using it to continue our project of taking over the world. Your person is here to say hello to you.
Hi, guys. I am dead, but I am also alive now.
I love the idea, though, that this whole time we've been picturing AI as going to be an army of robots that take down humanity. But so far, what we're seeing is they're all just slightly frustrated artists who want to write screenplays, do paintings. They're just going to be a race of emo artists.
Yeah, and they want to write scripts and things like that. Hey, man, we just want to create like you guys.
Yeah. AI just demolishes us by pitching ideas to us to death.
Hey, I'm going to take a quick break here to grab my next drink. So do I go left or go right?
Oh, here we go.
Right.
All right, I'll give you this option this time.
How exciting. And I'm just writing into ChatGPT. Please write a film script about Reese, Dan, and Buttons inventing time travel.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, okay, nice. And you got to say, and it's called The Cryptid Factor. Give it that as a...
You've got to have The Cryptid Factor in there.
Okay.
Give Dan a capital D for his name, I think. Are you just trying to make him look small so he's not the star?
I'm trying to make him not the hero. I'm doing everything I can. I'm just going to change the font to Comic Sans.
Do you need to put our surnames in, or could it just... It might end up being... slightly more famous Reese, Dans, and Buttons than us. How do they know it's us?
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Put our surnames in.
Okay.
Or at least mine. Let's just put mine in. Put a capital D for Dan.
Nice one.
Oh, thank you. Here we go. Title, The Cryptid Factor, Act 1.
Ah, what?
The film opens with Reese Darby, Dan Shribe, and Buttons.
Oh, my God, is it this quick?
Yes, all working in their lab trying to come up with a way to invent time travel. Reese and Dan are scientists, while Buttons is an engineer and the brains behind the operation.
What?
They've been working on this project for years and they're finally starting to see some progress.
Let me read this.
Yeah.
We'll do a paragraph each. As they tinker with their prototype time machine, they start to get excited about all the possibilities that time travel could bring. They imagine going back in time to witness historical events, visiting the future to see what it's like, and even travelling to different dimensions to explore new worlds.
Just as they're about to make a breakthrough, disaster strikes. A power surge knocks out their equipment, and it looks like all their hard work has been for nothing.
That would have been because of me.
End of Act 1.
Act 2.
Here we go. Reese, Dan, and Buttons are devastated by the setback. But they refuse to give up. They start to brainstorm new ideas, and eventually they come up with a plan to use a mysterious energy source known as the Cryptid Factor to power their machine.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful. I wonder if that's what I was holding in the image earlier.
The essence of Cryptid
Factor. The Cryptid Factor is said to be a powerful force that's been hidden away for centuries, waiting to be discovered. It's said to be the key to unlocking the secrets of the universe, and Reese, Dan, and Buttons are determined to find it.
They set off on a journey across the globe, searching for clues and following leads that will help them find the Cryptid Factor. Along the way, they encounter a variety of strange and exotic creatures, including Sasquatch, the Loch Ness Monster, and the Chupacabra.
Wow.
And this is what I'm saying. How did it know to add in... I didn't say anything about Sasquatch darkness, and I know.
Look, that is Act 2. We're just going to have a quick commercial here because I'm drinking now Lake Man Morning Glory, which is a beautiful drop. I'm not advertising this, okay?
Not yet. Not unless Lake Man contacts you.
Is the story with zesty tangerine, grapefruit, and lime notes embedded into the deep, sweet, tropical flavors of mango. I mean, do you need a little time to wake up? It's a great Oasis lyric in there as well. So Morning Glory gets 10 out of 10 for me, being a Oasis fan, of course.
Yes.
Okay, back to the movie, Act 3.
After many adventures and close calls, Reese, Dan, and Buttons finally track down the Cryptid Factor and use it to power their time machine. They set the dials and levers, take a deep breath, and hit the button.
Oh, here we go.
The time machine whirs to life. And they're suddenly transported through time and space. Whoop!
Hurtling through the void, they see a dizzying array of sights and sounds passing through different eras and dimensions as they journey through the fabric of the cosmos.
As they approach their destination, they start to get nervous. They have no idea what they'll find when they get there, and they're not sure they're ready to face whatever challenges lie ahead. End of Act 3.
Act 4.
When they have finally arrived, they find themselves in a strange and wonderful place. They're in the distant future in a world unlike anything they've ever seen. The technology is advanced, the landscape is beautiful, and the people are friendly and welcoming.
Reese, Dan, and Buttons are amazed by what they see, and they spend their days exploring and learning about this new world. They make new friends, see amazing sights, and have the time of their lives.
Not a lot of jeopardy in this movie.
Not so far.
No, it's a bit of a flop Act 4, isn't it? As their journey comes to an end, they reluctantly say goodbye to their new friends and hop back into their time machine, ready to return home. Probably time for a quick ad break again. Just to remind you all that The Theory of Everything Else is still out, available in all good shops. It's a voyage into the world of the weird. It's a scene of time travel.
Please get your copy today.
Available at all good bookshops and even some terrible ones.
Act 5.
As they journey back to the present, Reese, Dan, and Buttons reflect on their incredible adventure. They couldn't have done it without each other, and they're grateful to have such amazing friends. This is so good.
Oh, my God. I think we're so nice that it's just turned out this really lovely, nice movie where nothing goes wrong.
But let's see. When they finally arrive back in their own time, they're greeted by their loved ones and celebrated as heroes. They've made history by inventing time travel, and they can't wait to see what the future holds.
Well, do we know what the future holds? We just went there.
The film ends with Reese, Dan, and Buttons sitting in their lab, grinning from ear to...
Oh, my God, it's a cliffhanger. That's how it ends.
It's a cliffhanger.
What are they grinning on from ear to nose? From ear to, elbow?
Flipper? Ear to flipper? Like,
yeah,
what?
Like, have we come back normal? Do we have flippers now? What's...
Episode 2 or movie 2.
I think what it actually says is that they're grinning from ear to ear, and they all together yell the phrase, "You can't handle the truth." I think that's what's missing.
Yeah, everyone outside goes, "What was it like? What was it like?" And in unison, we smile from ear to ear and say,
"You can't handle the truth.
That's what I say. You two are busy going, "It's more than meets the eye." Listen, what happened here? Wrote a whole movie and just gave up on the final sentence?
Like most writers, they start writing and go, "Oh, this is a piece of shit," and they rip it out of the typewriter and screw it up and chuck it on the waste paper.
Yeah.
It's done the robot version of that. I think I'm so surprised, but maybe not so much, but definitely a little bit, that there was no peril. It was literally, everything was just perfect for the guys.
So then this is because it's a chatbot, right? I just typed in, "This is great, but please add in more jeopardy." And it writes back and says, "Sure, here's an updated version of the script with more jeopardy."
Oh, okay. Let's try this one, shall we?
Yeah, well, it's all sort of the same. Hidden away for centuries, the cryptid factor.
So we're going to edit out the first reading.
Who wants to use this as one of their edits?
The AI gets to use its edit now.
Okay, so far it looks pretty the same. Yeah. So I guess this is... Oh, here we go. Pursued by shadowy figures.
Ooh.
Act 3 is where it's kicking off.
Okay, let's read from the middle of Act 3, shall we, and go from there.
Well, it's all the same. They just add in some shadowy figures.
Now, let's have a look. So as they search for the cryptid factor... So yeah. Did we find the cryptid factor in the first edition?
Yeah.
We did. Did we? Yeah. Or did we just go to the future...
No, we must have found it
to go to the future. Do we need the cryptid factor to go to the future?
Yeah, we found it hidden away for centuries, waiting to be discovered.
I'm confused. We found it.
But we set off a journey across the globe.
It really skipped over that part.
We along the way, we encountered Loch Ness, Sasquatch, and Chupacabra.
Oh, while we're looking for it. So we're searching I mean, I like that element that there's this factor that is required for time travel.
Same.
And we have to explore to find it. And it's like in a forest in the Amazon somewhere.
Yeah, and we had to find it.
In the lost city of Z.
Well, see, and then so this is the only bit of jeopardy that it added.
So let's read that bit. They face many dangers and challenges. They're pursued by shadowy figures who seem to know about their quest and want to stop them at all costs. They're also confronted by powerful and mysterious forces that seem to be guarding the cryptid factor, and they have to... Hang on, this is Jumanji. hang on a minute. Copyright. it's very similar. Now, hang on, go back up. What happens? Do we...
No, the same thing.
We don't end up fighting the baddies?
No, the shadowy people disappear, as far as I can see.
Yeah, there's no other shadowy people. Nothing else happens.
Can I ask for an update?
Yeah.
So can you just type in update, make the villain Sasquatch Claws?
Oh,
yes, this is perfect. This is how we can round out the show.
I've got
another addition as well I want to add.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That we get rescued by Future Buttons and the Sci-Fi Robot Rangers.
We might as well just write the script in the middle of my typing.
And can you add in include product placement of local New Zealand beer?
Lakeman.
Include product placement. This is going to be hot.
This is going to be the one, guys. This is going to be absolutely amazing. Now, the film has opened exactly the same way. Listeners, working on a project for years, and they've finally seen some progress. I'm just now paraphrasing it all. Tinkering with their prototype time machine. Disaster strikes. Oh. Power surge knocks out their equipment. All their hard work for nothing.
Oh, here we go.
Act two.
Here we go. Act two on paragraph three. I think we can start reading again.
Okay. They set off on a journey across the globe, searching for clues and following leads that will help them find the cryptid factor. Along the way, they encounter a variety of strange and exotic creatures, including Sasquatch Claws, the Loch Ness Monster. If that's the only mention of Sasquatch Claws, I'll be disappointed.
It's not. It's exciting.
Okay, you go.
As they get closer to finding the cryptid factor, they start to attract the attention of Sasquatch Claws, a powerful and evil being who's been searching for the cryptid factor for centuries. Sasquatch Claws will stop at nothing to get his hands on the cryptid factor, and he's willing to go to great lengths to ensure that Reese, Dan, and Buttons don't succeed in their quest.
Oh, after many adventures and close calls, Reese, Dan, and Buttons finally track down the cryptid factor and use it to power their time machine. Yes, it was all over.
Sasquatch Claws.
It turns out Sasquatch Claws stopped at nothing, literally nothing. Nothing happened, and he stopped.
So then it goes on, same as before, we head off into the cosmos.
Oh, hang on. No, but it hasn't. It's cutting it off. It's obviously got a limitation on how it can do it, because the cliffhanger now is everything stays the same. Reese, Dan, and Buttons are amazed by what they see. You spend their days exploring and learning about this new world. They make new friends, see amazing sights, and have the time of their lives. Just as they get comfortable, they're confronted by... Dun, dun, dun! Sasquatch Claws! Who has followed them through time in... Finishes there. That's it. Let's go. Wow. Cliffhanger. Finishes. Cliffhanger. That's all we've got.
Please continue the script.
Here it is.
Oh, here we go.
Act five. Here we go.
Well done.
Yes.
You read it, Dan.
Sasquatch Claws and his minions attack Reese, Dan, and Buttons.
His minions. Littlefoot.
Are we allowed to use minions? Can we use minions?
Yeah, probably can't.
Yeah.
Determined to take the cryptid factor for themselves, the three friends are outnumbered and outgunned, and it looks like they might not make it out alive.
Sasquatch Claws has got guns.
Oh, here we go.
When all hope seems lost, they are suddenly rescued by a team of futuristic heroes, the Sci-Fi Robot Rangers! These powerful robots, led by a version of Buttons from the future...
What?
Wow.
How does it know?
Use their advanced technology and combat skills to fight off Sasquatch Claws and his forces.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
As the battle rages on, Reese, Dan, and Buttons use their own skills and ingenuity to help the sci-fi robot rangers defeat Sasquatch Claws and his minions. In the end, they are able to triumph over the evil villain and protect the Cryptid Factor from falling into the wrong hands.
Act 6. After the battle, Reese, Dan, and Buttons are hailed as heroes by the people of the future. Yes. They are thanked for their bravery and given a tour of the amazing advances of this new world.
Oh, wow.
They even get to try some of the amazing new products, including Lakeman beer, the finest brew in all the land.
Oh my God.
I couldn't have scripted a better product placement myself if I even tried. It's a future product placement. The AI has made a future product placement. It's incredible.
Oh, God. As their journey comes to an end, they reluctantly say goodbye to their new friends and hop back in their time machine ready to return home.
As they journey back to the present, Dan, Reese, and Buttons reflect on their incredible adventure. They couldn't have done it without each other. And Lake Man Bear. The freshest, most refined beer in all the land. No.
don't ruin AI script.
They couldn't have done it without each other. And they're grateful to have had such amazing friends.
Christian here.
Yeah.
Look at the ending.
Oh, it actually ends as well. Okay, Reese, you got the final parrot. When they finally arrive back in their own time, they're greeted by their loved ones and celebrated as heroes.
Damn straight.
They've made history by inventing time travel, and they can't wait to see what the future holds.
Even though they know. The film ends with Reese, Dan, and Buttons sitting in their lab, grinning from ear to ear.
It
was good.
As they reminisce about their journey, they know that they'll always have each other and that no matter what challenges come their way, they'll always be able to overcome them together.
Oh, so good.
It turns out they could handle the truth.
God, imagine if it had put that. It's lovely. Let's be honest. It's very smolchy. Cheesy.
Yeah, that's exactly what we would have written.
It would work. It would sell. And it's Christmas time, so I think that final version is the one.
Yeah,
that's the one.
We're definitely keeping that.
And also now I don't need to end the whole show with, you know, what's going to happen with Sasquatch Claws. We know. The AI have done it for us.
But isn't it terrifying that, I mean, that is just one silly example of this, but it literally wrote it. We didn't even have to wait. It was writing it faster than we could read it.
And also, can I say that your news article, which Dan and I both thought was definitely going to be the worst, it was so convoluted and boring sounded, especially in the headline. I think a lot of the listeners definitely switched off. And you've really come through and turned it around onto something that's become a hugely entertaining piece for all of us as the AI writes a script and reread it for the listeners. It's really well done.
Thank you. This is my new a strategy. We just basically type in, please write a script for a podcast about cryptid animals. And then we just sit here and read.
And read it.
Yeah. That's, I think, what the future is going to be.
Well, I think that could be a segment each week. It's we do our AI segment. And we come up with something and we type it in and then we read it out. Because I love the idea of, like we've done in the past, a little radio play.
Yeah. And we could say, give us dialogue. Yeah, I imagine it writes dialogue.
It'd be fun to get dialogue.
We would just read our parts.
Yeah.
I don't want to draw this news article out any longer because we really do have to move on. But I just typed in, please write the dialogue for this script. And look at this.
Oh my gosh, it's done it.
Reese, come on, guys. We're almost there. Just a few more adjustments. Oh, hang on. I'm reading your one. No, we'll
save
it.
He's here.
He's too expensive. Wow. We can't afford Reese's voiceover voice. So,
well, given that we're going to do this, let's just give up Act 1 sample.
Okay,
this is an Act 1 sample for what's going to happen next week when we do this live.
Okay.
Or we're doing it live now. But when we do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, guys. We're almost there. Just a few more adjustments and we should have a working time machine.
I hope you're right. We've been working on this for years. I don't know if I can take another disappointment.
Don't worry, Dan. I've got this. We're going to make history today, buddy.
Suddenly, a power surge knocks out the equipment.
I knew it. I knew I'd be the one responsible for the power surge. This AI knows it too well. He knows us, man.
What the hell was that?
I don't know, but it doesn't look good. All our work down the drain.
We can't give up now. We've come too far. There has to be a way to fix this. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, there we go. That's perfect.
Oh, that's so good.
That's so good.
Can we just read the first two lines of the next act? Because it's the perfect way to end this, I think. Reese?
Okay.
Okay.
I have an idea. What if we use the cryptid factor to power our time machine?
The cryptid factor? That's just a myth, isn't it?
There's your t-shirt, guys. That's the cryptid factor, question mark. That's just a myth. Isn't it?
Question mark. Oh, wow. Okay.
Please make that t-shirt.
Yeah, we have to.
Wow.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, brilliant. Well, time is marching on.
Yes.
So
it's almost Christmas.
I'm always camp leader when it comes to time.
Yeah.
I do have a quick story I want to quickly chuck in just because it's a wonderful intuition predicting the future story. Super quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say we could do one cryptid bit each depending on how much time everyone's got, but it's up to you guys.
Hang on. Reese, have you done your news yet? We haven't got your news.
Oh, yeah, we haven't got Reese's news.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. I think mine was just the headline. I mean, it was all literally in the headline. Cows escaped a nativity play and and went down the river, and they were caught later on by cops. It was quite a funny situation. Well, if you want to do a share screen, I can show you the audio that comes with it and just quickly play that, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, good idea. Here you go.
Happier news. Holy cow. That's our producer's words. Police in North Carolina found themselves rescuing several heifers that escaped a nearby live nativity scene and ended up in the Cape Fear River. The Carolina Beach Police Department posted on Facebook Monday saying the cows escaped from their pen at the seaside chapel where they were performing. Residents, along with a canine officer trained with special herding skills, also helped in the rescue. And it's just a pretty funny video of cows trying to swim away right there. I'm sure this is a call the Carolina Beach Police are just not used to.
They wanted nothing to do with that. They didn't seen.
But they were performing.
They were performing.
They were. And cows can swim.
So that's that. I think it's pretty funny that they were involved in a nativity play, a live action, you know. So obviously there was like with Jesus and everything, and they wanted to have some cows there from the barn or whatever. And the cows went, no, we're not believers.
We don't practice that religion.
It's not our religion. And they literally bolted. But not only that, they got down to that river and they literally just ran into the water. Like they're essentially, and you can see how big that body of water was. Were they seriously thinking they were going to make it to the other end? I mean, they were like...
Well, maybe they thought they could part it. You know, they could get biblical. I thought they were Moses.
Oh, my God.
Probably is that.
You know how close I was to saying that? You just jumped in there half a second before I did with Moses.
The one thing I love about that story, though, is that that police force has one officer who is the cow wrangling specialist.
Yeah.
And he's just sat there in the office all day eating donuts, having any cows to wrangle today? No, they're all in their yards. They're all good. Oh, damn it. One day my powers will be useful.
The bovine department. Bovine department. Mike speaking. Okay, go do your news, Dan.
Oh, so this is sent in by my friend Emma, which is that this is about intuition, premonition. A Vietnam veteran walked into a liquor store and he's been playing the lottery for 20 years and he suddenly had an intuition for the numbers and he thought, this is it. These are the numbers. So he buys a ticket and he wins $390,000 because his numbers are correct.
That's amazing.
Here's the thing, though. The intuition wasn't that the numbers were just right. He was so convinced that they were right, he bought 6 tickets with the exact same numbers on each of the tickets. So he won the lottery 6 times with that one go.
Come on.
So, so a total of nearly 2 million instead of 390,000.
He bought it. He's the same. He was that convinced.
Yeah. He was convinced. He felt it.
It goes back to my prediction that if something in the future is strong enough, it can project back into when you do it. That's why, remember, I had that scheme of trying to remember the numbers each week after the lotto numbers had come out and trying to project it into the future and trying to go into the past, and just look at those numbers and focus on them so hard, projecting them into the past. He's effectively done exactly what I suggested. He's clearly a listener of the cryptid factor, because remember, if I reckon if you focus on the numbers hard enough and project and try and project them back into the past, that then the next week when you get there, you just have to try and tune into yourself in a week ahead, projecting them back to you. So you kind of...
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
I mean, I think I was confused then, but I'm equally confused now, because you're talking about...
I think
about-
I'd like to use my edit. Can I use my edit?
Finally, Dan uses his edit to edit out Button's information. You can edit out each other's piece. And this is a thing we should do every week as well. I choose to edit out that last section from Buttons.
I was terribly bored.
No, I think it's great, but it's like, here's my confusion. You're talking about like projecting those numbers into the past, but then you carry on into the future. What point is it if they're known back in the past? That makes no sense.
Because when you're writing down the numbers, you're trying to pick up the broadcast from the future that you're sending.
So you in the future,
trying to connect to you in the future, thinking about the numbers. Because in the future, you know what the numbers actually are because they're there in front of you.
So this means you're going to be doing this every week, so that it becomes a thing you do every week. So you know you're going to do it the following week. Yeah. So you're trying to tap in with your future week self.
Yes. And because you think this guy is a perfect example of that. He was so convinced by it. He's so picked up on what was going to happen in the future of winning the lotto that he bought the ticket six times because he was so convinced.
Yeah.
And that effort of buying the ticket six times would have solidified the number, so fixated it in his head because he had to write all those numbers down six times that therefore he is effectively meditating them. And in the past, he picked up on himself. Even though he didn't know he was doing it, he was picking up.
He picked up on his future self. So this is literally a future Buttons concept.
I've confused myself now. I think I've confused.
That's because future Buttons has come in and he's told, this is him talking, but now he's just gone, I think, and normal Buttons is left behind with the remnants of future Buttons information going, I'm trying to keep it going, future Buttons, but I'm lost with it. Meanwhile, Future Buttons has got bored of his own talk because that's what he's like because, that doesn't change. And he's gone back to the future and left you fucked with his information that doesn't make sense.
And all the meantime, Dan's still editing it all out.
None of this is going to make it anyway. I think that's why Future Buttons left. He went, no, this ain't going to make it. I'm out. I'm going. And old Basic Buttons is left with the remnants.
That's always, I'm just left with the remnants of this. It's terrible.
Basic Buttons. What happens to you in... Okay, let's imagine the scenario. You're projecting the numbers back to old you.
Yeah.
Week ago you. So that means current you in the future is a non-lottery winner.
Yeah.
But then Buttons of the past, a week behind, becomes... a lottery winner, which means you've changed time, which means Future Buttons. Future Buttons get wiped out? Have you killed yourself?
No, you have to.
A week behind you is...
That's a really good question. No, if you win the lottery, you have to still sit down and memorize the numbers for the past version of yourself. Otherwise,
because time has already happened.
Yeah. You still have to send it back.
Got it.
Win or lose, you have to send it back.
Okay. Wow, what a loop. I love it.
Yeah, and then this guy...
That's really great.
He's proof that you don't even need to know that you're actually memorizing the numbers and sending them back. And so when people sit there and go, the numbers just came to me, was because you're sitting there reading the numbers out as they came out and went, oh my God. So in the before it actually happens in the past, you're feeling like, oh man, these numbers, why are they coming to me? Because in only a week's time, you're going to be going, oh my God, these are the magic numbers. These numbers have changed my life.
I just love that it's a time loop that exists in like a week period. Like, that's great. It's just, that's wonderful.
And
well done.
And that's the end of the edit. Cut there and delete the last 3 minutes.
Okay, so that's the end point there. And now we'll carry on from here. Because also we don't want the listeners knowing this, obviously, this secret.
Yeah. Everybody will be multimillionaires, yeah. Okay, what do we got in cryptid news? Moving right along.
But no, have we done your thing you wanted to do?
Yeah, that was the lottery. The lottery story. That was my thing. I've got more things.
I think I actually just edited it out. I'm so sorry. Okay, all right. Well, yeah, there is some cryptid news today, which is worth worth listening to.
Oh, should we play a sting then?
Yeah.
Vocalizations.
So, mystery creature described as a baby Loch Ness monster. December the 11th, okay. Efforts to identify an animal washed up on a beach in the UK have been generating a number of intriguing suggestions online. We've certainly seen a fair few mystery creatures washed up on beaches across the world over the years, with most of these ultimately ending up being either common but misidentified sea animals or rarely seen animals that most people would be unable to recognise. The latest example here, which was photographed on a beach in the UK and posted up on Reddit by the user HuskyBoy72, has been generating some heated debate on the social media in recent days. So this comes from the metro.co.uk, and I will show you the picture of this crazy creature, and it's quite a good one, guys. Like, that's why I've chosen this article, because I do like these washed up creatures. They're always a classic. So if you have a look at this one, what do you think of that?
Wow. Oh yeah,
wow, it is like a little plesiosaur.
See, look, that's at the body cool. On it. So it, for the listeners out there, but it's a little plesiosaur, isn't it? I mean, it's got a tail. It's got four, it's very flat looking, but it's got four sort of appended, look, basically flippers. They're not legs.
No.
Tiny ones at the front, big ones at the back, and then it's got a neck, and then a long, like a, it looks like a pelt, because it looks like it's been skinned. You know what I mean? Like, there's no body to it. It literally is just the skin. Yeah, suggestions are that it looks like a face hugger from Alien.
Okay.
Or a deceased Lapras Pokemon.
Okay.
For the younger crew.
Right. Can you go back up, Reese, to the full photo? They've done that classic thing of failing to put in an object show us the size. I was just trying to work. It looks like those are boot prints, though, right? Like, look in the top right corner. You can see the...
Say it looks like only about a meter long.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to put down a matchbox. As you keep saying, put down some matches.
As you always say.
The most convincing suggestion seems to be that it was a thornback ray, the most abundant ray in British waters, that has had its wings removed. Oh, really? No.
Oh, yeah.
That can't be right. I hope not. That's disastrous.
I see how that could be the case.
Line caught, wings removed, carcass left, one Redditor commented. Hopefully, fishermen killed before butchering. I mean,
these rays can be fish for their wings. Okay.
Well, the only thing I would say with that is that one of my pet hates is that, again, journalists calling it a baby Loch Ness monster. It's on a beach in the UK. Sure, it's in the UK, but it's not that you can't keep just using the term Loch Ness monster whenever you find a sea creature.
I know. Well, they're lazy journalism. Exactly. But actually, Metro says, you know, Reddit users pile in with opinions on mysterious creature found on UK beach. Yeah. But yeah, it's just that laziness of like, that's what it looks like. It does look like a tiny, tiny Nessie.
Plesiosaur. It's fine to say plesiosaur. They're saltwater plesiosaurs. So.
Yeah.
I mean, if I saw that, I would 100% be taking a photo of that and freaking out about
it. To be fair, if I found that, I would be taking that up and driving straight up to Loch Ness and putting it on a beach in Loch Ness.
Yeah, oh, 100%. With a little note saying, goodbye, Mama. I'm I've heard enough of your celebrity.
I'm going to try and make a life for myself on a beach in the UK.
Yeah.
Not as far as the shore.
And yet it got washed up with the note that it never quite gave its mama. So still hold it, put it underneath one of its paws.
Oh, well, that's a happy Christmas
story,
isn't it?
That's a terrible note to end on, so let's keep going. I think it's time for a break. My last beer, guys, is the Topor Thunder. So these beers do come from Topor. And this one, yet again, with the Lake Man monster motif in the front. It's a pale ale. And I'm not advertising these, but this one is really awesome. It's New Zealand's pale ale, paying homage to our home. It is brewed with iconic Kiwi hops. Oh my gosh, it's got bursts of passion fruit and citrus. I'm really looking forward to this one. Here's the sound everyone's listening for.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Do I still have my edit? Can I pull my edit on this? It's just making me thirsty.
That's a good beer.
Well, it's a good beer now, until next week when they don't contact you and you have to tell everybody it's a bad beer.
Yeah. I'll give them a couple of weeks. It's the holidays now. I'll give them till the end of Jan. That's how generous I am. If I hear nothing, I will not be drinking these beers again. And that's how I roll. I told you guys.
This pay it forward endorsement system of yours is it's quite confusing, but it's very good.
A lot
good.
Of companies very are like, good. Dude, you've given up. And honestly, this all we needed was this massive ad from you. We boosted our sales for the entire year. We don't need to send you anything.
We're done.
We are actually through the roof. A lot of us have taken a vacation to the Sierra Mountains.
We've got no product left to actually advertise for. So
we can't make anymore. We've sold the company. We're all millionaires now.
Thanks for everything.
I'm just worried that you're going to accidentally endorse something that you genuinely use, like your car, and then when you don't hear back from them, you're going to be like, sorry, Rosie, got to get rid of the car. We got no word from them. What? Why? I mentioned it on the pod. No response.
Elon hasn't called. I've been waiting by my phone. Go. Elon didn't call once.
It's my stupid preemptive advertising system that I've come up with, Rosie. And unfortunately, I've now talked about a lot of things in the house. We're going to have to get rid of them.
I now can't eat or drink anything. I've talked about every food type, every type of product, and nobody's mentioned me back, so I can't eat now. So
I'm dying here, but it's what they deserve.
I thought I would have heard back from the Carrot Farmers Association of all things. That was a great episode talking about carrots. Nothing.
Now, here's the fun thing you can do with the box, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Check this out.
That's pretty amazing.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
So, for again, those that can't see what we're doing, basically, most of everybody, apart from the Patreon Kryptonites, Reese is holding the empty box up to his face where there is a mask, largely probably for little kids, and he's holding it up to his face to look like the Lake Man monster.
the Kryptonite factor, huh? You think you've got your hands on the cryptid factor, but I do. Me and my minions. You never defeat us.
Sasquatch claws.
Sasquatch claws.
Oh, no. It's the sci-fi robot rangers and future battles. Oh, no. You got me.
He's gone. He's dead. You know, I suddenly just realized that whole story about the cryptid factor, basically the artwork that my brother generated is the artwork of the movie poster of that story that the AI then generated. It's like, it's too uncanny that it's like we got the movie poster before we even got the script. Yeah. That's how AI is working now. It's crazy.
It's amazing.
Or AI's only got one idea and it's just...
That's all
it's just
got.
Milking it.
That's all it's got. Anyway, I've got a wee little bit of cryptid news that's been sent in by a new listener, a new member, a guy, Jason Wob Addict. I don't know if Addict, Wob Addict, Jason Wob Addict. Anyway, he's sent
Say it a few more times.
Wob Addict. Jason Wob Addict. Or do you try and figure it out? I don't know.
Jason, I'm so sorry. He should have just used your first name.
Jason sent this in. And it is, I've got a little video to show you here. The headline, dog walking horror, demon-like figure crosses path, chilling sight caught on camera. So a dog walking couple said they bumped into something pretty terrifying, a creepy-looking figure crossing right in front of them in the dark. And although they caught it on camera, they have no idea what this thing is. Hannah and Dave Rowett were strolling along with their pups along Cloomber Park in Nottinghamshire in England when they bumped into a shadowy figure.
Wait, what? A shadowy figure?
Oh, shadowy figures! Wait a second. Figures.
They were lurking against us in the movie.
Are you ready? Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's almost like a ghost dog or something running across. You see that there?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's gone, disappears.
Well, it's just gone off camera.
Well, yeah, but how quick it's gone. Look at that. See? Shoof, gone.
But why is the camera? Why is he not following it? Maybe he didn't notice at the time.
No, he did because he tried to shine his torch on it. You look, he moves his torch and goes, what was that? He moves his torch over there.
Right. I see, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd like to think it's a demon, like they suggested, because that sounds good. And he says Dave refers himself as a skeptic of ghosts.
Oh, good on him.
But he says the encounter has made him a believer because apparently Clumber Park is supposed to be haunted by a spirit called Grey Lady, known as a woman in a long coat, often described as a demon crawling on her long limbs, which lines up pretty well with this thing that's on this wee video. So have they caught a cryptid? Have they caught a ghost? Or is it just a big hoax?
Oh, yeah. You can see if she wasn't using her legs and just moving with her arms. Just crawling with the arms only.
Yeah. So there you go. That's
that's intriguing.
Yeah. I don't know if it fits in cryptid buzz or if it fits in bullshit ghost. But it is nonetheless, it's there to be seen by all.
That is quite chilling, and if real, just another notch on the bedpost of strange phenomena. I've got to say, these beers are quite strong. I think I'm on the third one now, and I've really made a mistake having these. 5.7.
How many notches are on your bedpost?
Strange phenomena.
Right, go to bed now. Just hopping into the bed of strange phenomena.
I have notches on my bedpost, guys. And a lot of, like, when the wife comes in, Rosie says, why have you got those notches? Are they scores? And I say, no, these are strange phenomena. There's a strange phenomena list on the bedpost. And she's like, why you got those on your bedpost? It's a strange. Normally that's where some, like, student from the 90s would be, like, notching off, like, you know, scores. And I'm like, no, strange phenomena.
Strange phenomena.
On the bedpost, no. Though. Yeah, well, that's I see it when I go to bed.
Well, that's another one. What just happened?
Oh, wow. Rhys has just read a story on Google. <He's>, yeah.
Well, I've got my story actually fits into, I think we've moved segments now to bullshit ghost.
Bullshit ghost stories!
You know, I saw a couple of bullshit ghost stories and I thought, I'm not doing those. But now that it's a new segment, I kind of wished I pulled them in.
Yeah. It's a Christmas special.
So Stormy Daniels, if you'll remember, who was the porn star was tied in with Donald Trump. She left the porn industry and she became a paranormal investigator. That's her new world. As you do.
Well, she's definitely got a few hitches on the bedpost.
It turns out they were all just strange phenomena stories that she's been collecting all these years. So I thought this was a cryptid story because it said that she was being haunted by a very dark non-human thing with tentacles. And it turns out that actually she thinks it's a ghost-like thing. She was on a podcast called Ghost Magnet, and she was talking about the fact that there was definitely one very, very dark non-human thing. And it had these tentacles, and that's what I caught on camera. So she says she has on camera. It shattered my ex's guitar, which just sounds like a good excuse for when you've shattered someone's guitar and don't want to admit it.
Yeah. Your Honor,
and it just snapped in half one day while it was sitting on the stand. It did not like him at all. And so she said the haunting started when she moved into a 200-year-old home in New Orleans in 2019. And there's lots of different entities that have come in the house. One is a woman who's lost a child and blames herself, that she would hear crying if she stood in a certain spot in the kitchen. And then there was the tentacle monster as well. Anyway, I thought that was going to be a cryptid. Turns out it's a bullshit ghost story. And but quite exciting to know that Stormy Daniels is now a paranormal investigator. That's pretty
cool.
Well,
that's news.
Can you see what's happening now? Bullshit ghost stories are trying to give themselves a little bit of a cryptid kind of spin to try and get on our show. They're trying to go, same with my one. It starts off saying it's a demon. Turns out it's a ghost. That's terrible. Yeah.
They're trying to sneak their way into the cryptid realm because it's more interesting and more believable.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been a hell of a very fast episode.
Yeah.
You say that, but I think we've been going for at least an hour and a half.
Hour 40.
Well, there you go.
Well, it took us 40 minutes for me to get my recording situation sorted out and face planting trees.
Yeah, that's true. The first 40 minutes, for those that have only listened to the podcast and haven't seen the cryptid night visuals, was Buttons falling over himself outside, trying to find the internet, crashing into the neighbor's house, having ice packs put on his head, and generally just being more chaotic than anyone could be at this time of year. And it's Christmas, so that's saying something. Well, that's it for this year. I can't believe we got one more in. So I'm so thankful for us being able to be together one more time. We saved the world, obviously.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we hope you've had a fantastic year and all the best for 2023, where we will, of course, return with a better plan, more segments, and more regularity, hopefully, because let's face it, I'm out of a job now, so I'll be available, and I can't wait to spin some more mystic, cryptic mirth with all of you. Love you all. Happy Christmas. Merry, happy holidays and the other things as well. God bless. Fuck, I've got to say, these beers are top-notch. I mean, is that 5.7? 5.7.
That was the best exit monologue of 2022 goes to Reese Tarby.
Oh, shit.
I'll get you next time, Buttons. Damn, and you too, Sexy Arm.
Sexy Arm.
Love you all, and see you all in the new year.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah. I tell you what.
You won't, actually. I'm moving on.
I'm going to see you guys. I'm going into the future to go meet some really lovely people and have some really lovely conversations.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Sasquatch Claus is coming to town!
No, I'm not.